ABC Radio Australia.
Well, let's head back to Fiji and the Low Islands.
Mami wong bauta ni guni sabano no matale nang ona bimbiong go hane tutu sakati bike munikina pasulian non da kulo ko coba muni dambeta
wong bauta wong di natak.
And that's the sounds of Bolotu, hymns sung in the unique style of the people of Lao. After the singing came the moment Ratu Te Vita, Luilangimba Mara, was asked if he accepts his duty as chief in the first of a series of initiation rites he'll take part in this week, as he is installed as Tuinayao. The title, once held by his late father, Ratu Sir Kamisese Mara, is among the most powerful in Fiji, and the ceremonial process of installing it hasn't been seen in more than 50 years. Well, I'm joined by our reporter on the ground, Lide Movono, of that I say, Yandara Lide. I'm glad we have connected. Look, the first part of the ceremony, you know, happened on Nayao yesterday. What took place there again, and why was it so significant?
So Agnes, Nayao is one island, but it's an island that in ancient times carried a very important and powerful title and commanded quite a lot of influence in the Lawan Islands. And so for many, many years, it's been an important title that whoever is overlord over Lao or Saunivanua Lao must inherit first. And so that's why the Turangana Tuinayao Ratu Te Vita Mara went to Nayao Island first. It's about a three-hour boat ride away from Lakemba, the main capital of Lao, if you will, or chiefly island. And so the ceremony is done at daybreak. At the break of dawn, this service takes place. But in ancient times, and in the last time someone was invested into the position, it's done at daybreak on a mountainside, a sacred mount. But Ratu Te Vita Mara, we were told after the fact, has asked for changes to that process. So now it takes place in a church, starting with him. So that's what happened yesterday morning, followed by some rituals before he came back to the island of Lakemba in the evening, Aggie.
Mm, and that's it. All eyes are now on Lakemba, where the more elaborate rituals are about to begin. And you are there. What have you seen in the lead up early then, and how people are preparing?
Agnes, it's quite extraordinary. This island has, by my count, probably tripled or fourfold in size over the last month or two. So aside from, you know, the government support services, policemen, health officials, soldiers here to ensure that the infrastructure, you know, can hold and the number of people who would be here, we also have the diaspora, Fijian diaspora from all around the world, lots of Aussie Fijians, lots of Kiwi Fijians who have come back to play their part. And it's quite extraordinary to see. And you see everyone doing every tiny little bit of the entire process of installing a sacred position or a high chief. And so, for example, last night, I was able to witness the women of Katumbalevu who make the sacred oil that he will be anointed with. So there's lots of little details like that, the people who make the special platform that they lifted him on, for example. It's quite exciting to see. It's something I've never seen before and probably won't for a lifetime, but the energy is extraordinary, especially when Ratu Te Vita arrived yesterday, returning from Nayao. It was an entire 2.5 hours, Agnes, before he even arrived, but the entire island was on silent. It was quite eerie, but also sacred. You know, there were warriors everywhere shouting out commands. It's probably what would have happened in ancient times. But right now, the community is back in festive mode, and they're preparing for the second part of the installation, which takes place tomorrow, Agnes.
Lide, I know you've alluded to it a little bit, but I know that you have actually spent, you know, quite a bit of time with some of the women involved in the background. I mean, again, tell us more about their role in these rituals.
It's quite extraordinary, but it's something that a lot of the people here and maybe researchers will say is unique to Polynesian social structure, where the women have a prominent role, where the women work alongside the men in society. And I've seen it during this last 2 days that I've been in here, the Mbati Leka, or the warriors, or in modern terms, a close protection, bodyguards to the chief. They were, not just in preparing their costumes and the things that you would expect for women to be doing, but they were also issuing their commands. And I sat, alongside them on the road, on the sand, as they were telling their men to be a lot more fierce, to command with authority, and to issue those commands so that the island is, in respectful mode. And then at the same time, you see them, like I said earlier, making the sacred oil that the chief will be anointed with, making the garments that that he will be wearing. And it's things that the women tell us they have not done since 1969. Some have come in from where we are excited.
Sorry, Lithe, I know it's sounding a little bit fuzzy. I know you're on an isolated island, but I'm just checking whether or not if you could maybe move a little bit and see if we can still hear you. But yeah, we'll get... Oh, and there she's gone. That's all right. Hey, look, that is our reporter, Lithe Mavono, speaking to us there from La Kemba.